has played a part in that, because he made the unit something more than just a paper unit or a window dressing kind of a thing, which it was when it came here, because it came out of, as a result of that 1965 riot in Watts. And I think Governor Brown had a guy over there that he called a community relations secretary. I don't know what his job was, but the governor gave the position more visibility and more authority, and people began to come in and talk to the guys in the unit. They saw that the people were sincere and wanted to help. The governor gave the unit the authority to do things. When a guy comes in to the governor's office and he's there and he has a problem, our guys can just pick up the phone and call the White House and say, look, I have a guy here who has a problem. And is there anything you can do for him? He could make arrangements for him to have an appointment with this guy or that guy or whatever. And I just think that these things began to take shape, and people began to look at them and began to recognize that the governor really was trying to do something. I believe that it accounts for some of the lessening of hostility toward the governor in the minority communities. And there are other things that other departments are doing in this area that I don't even know about, that I'm sure would be a plus for the governor. The Department of Corrections, the California Youth Authority, the Highway Patrol. You can just go on and on and on, because I guess prior to 1967, you only had about one or two black CHP officers, but those guys got in and really did a good job in recruiting and tried to open the doors for people and encourage them to come in. And I have to add that they did this without assassinating the civil service merit system. I've said many times that the governor came in here with about 120,000 civil servants, and he leaves about 120,000 civil servants. However, the minorities' participation has gone up 50% over the last 8 years, and you just don't do that unless there's somebody inside saying this should be done, this has to be done. This was all done at Ronald Reagan's insistence.
Thank you, Mel. Lynn, you might want to talk about the governor's visits around the state with the minorities in 1968.
Well, let me start really in 66, though, because it should be pointed out that in that campaign of 66, that the governor went into Watts, that he went into East Los Angeles, he spoke before a group of black Republicans in Santa Monica, in which there was an incident there because some of his fellow candidates were accusing him, implying that he was racist, and that during his time here, he has appointed more minorities than any of his predecessors, or I guess all of his predecessors combined. And that began very early, the effort to find blacks and Mexican Americans who were qualified. And there were a lot of them here, some stayed and some didn't. But in 1968, one of the things that was done was calling a series of meetings around the state where the governor would go in and talk to minorities, blacks, Mexicans primarily. I remember in Vallejo and in San Francisco, in Fresno, I think there were a series of about 8 of these meetings. And the people who were invited were not very friendly, many of them. Some of them were pretty radical, and those were the days, as you may recall, when the Black Panthers were invading the legislature and that sort of thing. There was when racism was a very major problem in the state. black militancy and that sort of thing. And those, I think out of those meetings that the governor called up and down the state, they were called not for him to go in and tell them what we were doing, but rather for them to tell him what they thought his administration ought to be doing. And I think out of those meetings, he gained a much greater understanding of what the problems were and what the minorities were unhappy about. And interestingly, to wind up this series of meetings, he went to Washington, and one of the things he was doing there was having a meeting over in Southeast Washington with some black self-help types, some of whom were pretty militant, and we were sitting in there, I think there were four of us there, and the police came in and stuck their head in the door and said, you had better get out of here, the town is going up. We had timed it well. The governor got there the day after they shot Martin Luther King. We got into the car, and these police escorted us as far as the Capitol. And then they were out of their precinct, so they stopped, and we had to get they left us then on our own, and we had to get to the Madison Hotel, which was about a mile and a half, 2 miles from the Capitol as best we could, and the traffic was very bad. And it took us a couple of hours, and we finally got within three or four blocks. One of the interesting little things that happened is people were fleeing the town. It was a mass exodus there, as people really thought there was going to be some major problems, and I think there would have been if Lyndon Johnson hadn't called the army in. But we saw an elderly man, a white man, fall down, and who went to help pick him up but some black people. We saw blacks and whites together trying to direct traffic because nobody was paying attention to the lights or anything else. We got within about four or five blocks of the Madison Hotel, and we were just sitting there, and finally we said, let's get out and walk, and Art Van Court, who was the governor's security man at the time, said, Governor, put on my dark glasses, and the governor said, oh, I don't want to do it, and the governor and Art said, you got to put on my dark glasses, and finally, after some argument, the governor put on the dark glasses. We got out of the car, and we took about three steps, and there's a couple of black guys leaning against a wall, and one of them said, hey, man, there goes Ronald Reagan. And Reagan and Reagan said, oh, expletive deleted, and took the glasses off and handed them to Art, and we went on to the hotel, and where we went up to the roof and watched them begin to burn the town down. And a couple of hours later, something like seven of us piled into a small sedan and fled the city.
Alex, on the community relations thing, through your vantage point in education, you've had some contact with this. You want to make a closing comment on it? Well, why don't we close it there and pick up then tomorrow morning?
Sorry about that, Alex. Are you going to be here tomorrow morning?
7:30, I'll try.
Well, Alex likes breakfast, and so we schedule that specially for him and you, Vern. Why don't you pick it up in the morning then, and then I'd like to shift back into education and crime control. And then we'll get, after that, we'll switch to Jim. Do you know enough about the mental health thing? You can pick it up at a point.
It's so well documented already.
Is it?
Okay. The latest being an 8-page thing I gave Hennifer yesterday.
Okay. Let's take just a minute here to discuss what we've done and how we can improve tomorrow. I think one of the things we want to do is be sure that we're primarily dwelling on stuff that isn't already in the documents. And that means that the more we get of your perceptions, like Ike picking out what are the most important achievements rather than going through all the achievements in environment, and Mel talking about perceptions of the black and Mexicans of American descent, or Americans of Mexican descent communities, and some of these other things, what we hit on, the way in which things have changed in the budget process. These are things you can't find in any document any place, and those are the things we ought to dwell on. Does anybody have any suggestions of how we can pick this up, or any other suggestions for what we do tomorrow? Ike?
Well, the obvious suggestion I have is that we should budget the time.